This is Startups for the Rest of Us, episode 104. Welcome to Startups for the Rest of Us. The podcast helps developers, designers, and entrepreneurs be awesome at launching software products, whether you built your first product or you're just thinking about it. I'm Mike.
I'm Rob.
And we're here to share our experiences to help you avoid the same mistakes we've made. How are you doing this week, Rob?
You know, I'm doing really good. I'm actually glad that I changed hosting facilities for Hittail from when I acquired it a year ago. Because back then it was hosted in Manhattan, right downtown. And now it's hosted in Virginia, somewhere far away from the coast. Obviously, Hurricane Sandy's really done some damage to the power grid there on the East Coast. How have you been faring?
Pretty good. It's funny that you mentioned that you're glad that you moved Hittail to a different server that was kind of further inland. Because I've worked with companies that are in, you know, Western Virginia and in the state of West Virginia. And most people don't know this, but that's a very, very big hosting area because like the geology is such that there's very, very few earthquakes. And although they have to deal with snow, a lot of their incoming power lines are all underground. And so is a lot of their fiber optic cables. So they don't have to worry about stability of the infrastructure. And that's why a lot of the hosting companies that are in DC have a lot of their facilities based out in that general vicinity.
Yeah, I've also heard there's a bunch of big internet trunk pipes that go through there. And maybe they put them there because of that natural geological stuff you're talking about. But AOL, I think that's like their worldwide headquarters is there. And they, of course, laid a bunch of trunk lines back in the 90s. I found this cool quote from the Fog Creek blog. I guess Fog Bugs on Demand went down for part of the day. I mean, it's wreaking havoc on so many services are going down right now. But one of their quotes was, "The superhuman folks at our data center are hauling 55-gallon drums of diesel fuel up 17 flights of stairs. Assuming they're able to sustain a rate of transfer that exceeds the rate of consumption, the data center should run until electricity is restored. And the current estimate is 4 days from now." That's insane. Big, a major city like Manhattan going to have outages for, I mean, they're calling it a 100-year storm. You know, it's pretty crazy. I actually have a confession to make. You talked me into using Trello.
Yes, I did.
So I've always been a pen and paper guy for my to-dos, and no to-do list has ever replaced it. There's always something cumbersome about them. There's just one thing that gets in the way that doesn't work as well as a pen and paper, so I never make the switch. And last week, I finally decided, as I was moving a couple of the guys who were working on Hittail, everything's in Fogbugs now instead of, you know, other means. We were communicating via email and a Google Doc and such. So everything's in Fogbugs, and I realized I really need to make one more try at this. And of course, since you had talked about using Trello, I gave it a shot. And so far, I'm impressed with it. It is very simple. It does exactly what I need, nothing more. There really hasn't. I mean, I really don't have a complaint. I'm always looking, when I started using a to-do list thing, I'm looking for the one thing that's going to make me stop using it. And I haven't found that yet. And I've been using it for about a week straight. And it's great. I go to a coffee shop or go somewhere else, and I don't have to remember to bring this paper. That if I leave this piece of paper on my desk, that I actually still know what's going on. So far, you know, big thumbs up for me. And once they get, I'm assuming they get Fogbugs integration at some point where I can actually move issues or at least, you know, reference issues between the two. It'll be even better for my purposes.
It was just, I got away from it because I kind of ducked my head to work on certain things. Then I just never really went back to it. I store a lot of things in Evernote. So I think that once you're, the big problem with to-do lists in general, and it's not specific to Trello or, you know, paper or any given technology, it's just the fact that, like, as you start throwing things into it, the more you add, then it becomes, I'll almost say, a detriment, because you look at this giant list of things that you have to do, and it's demotivational. And that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. If it becomes a dumping ground and there's just 100 things on it and they're not prioritized or it's hard to prioritize them, you're right. You eventually just ignore it. You could declare to-do bankruptcy and just shred that whole piece of paper. I've done that several times.
Yep.
So yeah, and that very well may happen to me over the coming weeks. I'm just hoping that this is one system that sticks. But what's nice is it's easy enough to switch back to paper.
Right.
How about you? What else has been going on?
So one of our listeners named Matt Kreider wrote us to let us know that he runs a website called flapcast.com, and that allows people to listen to their podcasts online. And he recently started listening to ours specifically and has come to realize how difficult marketing really is for a developer. And it's really interesting to see our podcast up there, because our podcast is syndicated in a couple of different channels, and we have absolutely no way of figuring out like where it gets syndicated and how, and any sort of statistics with that. So based on our RSS feed, we have a kind of a roundabout idea of how many people are listening to the podcast, but that's really about it. I mean, because all these other syndication channels, we just, you know, it could be exponentially greater and we just don't know.
Right, because anyone who is, anyone like Flapcast who might be caching our MP3 file and letting a number of people listen to it means that each individual is not downloading it. Since Flapcast is a web, it's basically a web-based podcast interface. It actually looks really nice.
Right.
It's cool. I actually might import my stuff if it allows me to just import directly, just almost as a backup, because Apple's doing such screwy things now with their podcast. They kicked them out of iTunes, and the podcast episode on your iPhone is buggy as heck, and I'm just waiting for it to lose my feed and not have a copy of it somewhere. So I may use this as a backup. It's pretty cool.
Interesting. I haven't run into any problems with it, with the iPhone, I mean.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's the worst iOS app I've ever used. It crashes hands down. Actually, I've never given an iOS app a negative review. I intentionally went into iTunes and listed out all the bugs that it still has after what's like 3 months later, 2 months after release, and they've done a bunch of updates, and it still downloads massive. I mean, I will clean it out, and there'll be no podcast showing as new, you know, as new needing to be listened to. And within a couple days, as I sync, it'll bring 2,000 new episodes from all of my feeds in, and they're all things that have been marked as played before.
Wow.
And it's just a big bug. It also crashes on me a number of times a day. There's a few others. And slowly, there were probably 10 when I started. And listening to it about 2 months ago, and they've slowly been picking those off. So there's only about two or three really big ones left, but still really makes me wonder about Apple's ability to execute on this little podcast app, or maybe not their ability to execute, but their how high they prioritize it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I can definitely add my own. I was searching for movies near Millbury, Massachusetts. I said movies near Millbury, which the phone knows where I live, so it really shouldn't be that difficult for it to find movies near where I live. And it came up and said movies near Melbourne, Australia. And I'm just like, really? Come on.
I'm looking for movies on the other side of the world right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have a Hittail update. We are now we're embarking on a series of integrations. If you recall from my talk at MicroConf last year, I talked about integration marketing as a way to kind of find new users and just connect with other apps and other owners. So our first one will probably go live later this week, and maybe I'll talk about it next week after we go public to talk about how we promoted it and kind of the benefits we get from that. And then I'm taking a step back and I'm doing a bunch of housekeeping issues because I have just been pushing forward, right? Like it's all about providing the most value for the customers who are using it and trying to get more customers. That's all I've been doing. So anything that's like not customer facing, I've been completely ignoring. So there were a couple minor longstanding bugs that I fixed last week. Reporting was a mess. I was using the main database that gets all this incoming traffic. We didn't have any type of reporting database, and my reports were then starting to slow it down, and my nightly tasks that look at high volume users were starting to slow the actual production database down. So we've just gone in and spent time to kind of pull that out into something just for efficiency. To be honest, it's that point, you know, we always talk about premature optimization. I'm at the place where like growth is just starting to get to the point where I need to start optimizing, because it's from where I bought Hittail a year ago, well, a little over a year ago, we're at 10x the number of paying customers. And it's not that the servers hasn't had any problems. It hasn't slowed down yet, but our DBA has these inner workings of the database that he knows what's going on, and he shows me graphs, and we're going to get there if we keep up this growth for another few months. So now is the time to optimize.
That sounds a little scary. I mean, if your DBA is keeping track of certain things and he says, well, this is going to be a problem and it's going to most likely be a problem only in 2 or 3 months, then you don't have a whole lot of time to make those optimizations that is going to turn it into not a problem.
Right. Well, so he didn't give me an exact time frame. Yeah, maybe we'd see a little slowdown in 3 months and maybe it'd start to be a real problem in 6 months. The thing is, we move quickly since we're such a small team and we know the code base that it's actually not that hard. I basically asked him, I was like, send me all the queries that are causing any types of problems and send me the optimized versions. You know, send me the old and what you want it to look like. And then he goes away and sends these to me and I just go right in and can fix 10 queries that run all the time. I can fix all those in a couple hours, you know, and deploy them to production. It actually isn't that scary. In addition, we're on a cloud server. And so I can double the RAM tonight, you know, it's a monthly fee. I can also add more processors. I mean, we could go to a 4 or 8 processor box. There's a number of things. We can add hard drive space. We can do a lot of things to beef up the box that literally could be done overnight, or, you know, heaven forbid, in the middle of a day if we hadn't seen this coming. So it's less scary, to be honest. Without the DBA, it would be scary, because this is it's a high production database, right? It's high performance. And I wouldn't know, as a developer, you know, just enough to be dangerous, in my opinion. But having a DBA kind of on retainer really opens my eyes to, he looks way ahead and it helps out.
Yeah, that's kind of the advantage of having a DBA who kind of knows what he's doing, as opposed to somebody who's learned about it, but isn't necessarily all up to speed on everything.
Absolutely. That would be my description of you and I, if we were trying to maintain a database.
Right.
You've kind of learned about it. Just enough to write code against the database, but it's just nuts, the stuff, the reports and all the knowledge this guy has of the specific database engine. And it helps that he was the one that I originally hired to help me move data centers a year ago. And so he really has some ownership, and he knows all the inner workings of everything that's going on. So,
well, that's very cool.
Yeah. So what else is going on with you?
So I had dinner this past week in Brooklyn with James Robert, and he's the one who you had mentioned a couple of weeks ago who was working on The Witcher. Talk shop, I guess I'll say. Kind of talked a lot about The Witcher, and then talked about the podcast and On the Shark a little bit. And it's interesting the types of things that he's been doing and seeing on The Witcher. So it's just kind of great to get out and talk to a podcast listener. Again, the invitation is open for other people who are in the Brooklyn area. I'm not there now, but I will be in a couple of weeks. So by the time this podcast episode, you know, is released, then I'll probably be back.
The URL is the and then Witcher, WHICHER.com, and it's tournament split testing. And I really dig this idea. So it's cool you get to sit down with him.
Mm-hmm. So you know how Jason and Justin from the TechZane podcast are always talking about how Jason has these tales that are coming from, like, you know, the dark side of humanity?
Indeed.
Yes. So here's one for you. Disney just acquired the rights to Star Wars, and episode 7 is due out in 2015. So can we all just cry together now?
Are you serious? This happened? Where have I been? Is that like on the front page of Hacker News?
I don't know. I mean,
they're going to acquire Lucas. How is this possible? I am in complete shock. I'm sorry I keep cutting you off. I'm absolutely speechless right now.
Yep. But apparently for $4 billion, you could have bought it too.
Whoa.
Yep.
Wow.
So apparently happened today, and they're taking over not only Lucasfilm, but they're taking over Industrial Light and Magic as well.
That's great. He must want to retire.
Well, I think it's more of a leaving a legacy, because think about it this way. Yeah. I mean, if George Lucas died today, what would happen to Star Wars and all the other things that he owns?
Someone would sell it to Disney for $4 billion.
Well, maybe, but I mean, I guess that by selling it himself, he can kind of rest assured that, you know, it's going to survive beyond him.
Oh, I need a moment of silence to absorb this, Mike. I seriously, if you saw my tweet yesterday about my new t-shirt that I got with Greedo and Han
in
8-bit format, you know what a Star Wars fan I am.
That was a great tweet, by the way. Is your wife still talking to you?
She...
Or have you not worn it in her presence?
I put it on Facebook, and I said, the wife's going to love this, and she said all her comment was one word, couch. It was good. My wife, way funnier than we are. Yeah,
yes,
it was good stuff.
Nice.
Today, we're going to be covering podcasts you should listen to and why. What we're going to do is run through, it's a pretty big list. It's almost 50 podcasts. And the idea here is not that you should listen to every one of them, but it's to pick out the ones based on our descriptions that interest you, or that may expand kind of your mind and your, you know, your vision of the world and technology. Now, we're going to start by looking at the most relevant to this audience. So talk about startup podcasts, some interview and non-interview ones. We're going to talk about business paradigms, online marketing podcasts, then branch out a little bit to some that I'm familiar with and I listen to quite a bit. And we want to both promote these podcasts, because every podcast needs new listeners. But I think before that, I actually wanted to mention a couple things. One is the purpose of consuming podcasts, in my opinion. And I really see listening to podcasts. I listen to podcasts for 4 reasons. And so I've grouped this list into 4 different classifications. So first, there are some podcasts that are tactical. And by that, I mean, they're very nuts and bolts. You know, here's how to perform on-page SEO, and here are the steps. And there are very few podcasts that actually do this. And the reason is because they tend to be kind of boring, and they're less personal, and they're just less entertaining. And so there aren't a lot of them there. But we are going to call out which podcasts are like that. The second type of podcast that I think of is motivational. And that's if you think of like Mixergy or Founders Talk, you listen to them not to learn an exact technique, but you listen to them more to get the story of what's going on and to feel empowered and to just be motivated, right? To go work on your startup. And I know some people say that Startups for the Rest of Us does that for them. So the third kind is entertainment. And anything on the TWIT network, This Week in Tech, Leo Laporte's network, I would classify, I mean, it's like tech news stuff. It's not going to help you get your startup launched. But at the same time, you can't just work all the time, right? You can't just stuff your mind full of constant tactical information because you just get overloaded. And so I find that when I have extra time, if I am overloaded and I just want to do the dishes and listen to something fun, I listen to an entertainment podcast. And then the last of the four is exposure. And this is something, I'm talking about exposure to new ideas. So something like the HBR, the Harvard Business Review IdeaCast, where it's not something that is going to directly help me launch a new business, not technical, it doesn't motivate me, it's not entertaining, but it exposes me to new thoughts, new ideas, new concepts that can maybe down the line or some way change my thinking and can help me both in my, you know, my day-to-day work, in launching a new startup, in writing an article, in creating a podcast outline. I mean, anything like that. TED Talks, the audio feed of the TED Talk is also a great way to do that.
So one of the things that we want to point out here is that we're going to talk about a lot of different podcasts, and you have to think about when you can fit these things in, because there are certain podcasts, there are certain types of podcasts that you have to listen to, and you can't really pay too much attention to any other things that are going on, because you kind of have to concentrate and really absorb the information, whereas other podcasts, which are more for entertainment, you can listen to them at any time. One of the other things you can keep in mind is the speed at which you listen to these podcasts, and one of the things that I really like with the iPhone is that recently they just added in the ability to listen to the podcasts in 1.5 speed versus double speed, because double speed can be a little bit difficult to listen to, but 1.5 speed seems to be really kind of the sweet spot. At least for me, it is. Some people can listen to certain things faster or slower. Some people don't even speed them up at all. But in order to churn through podcasts very quickly, you can crank it up to, you know, 1.5 or double speed. And prime times to listen to podcasts tend to be when you're in the car, when you're traveling. A lot of people have long commutes. So if you have a half hour, 45 minute commute, you can at least set aside probably an hour a day. That's 5 hours a week for podcasts. Other times you can listen to podcasts or when you're working out or when you're doing dishes or yard work or when you're running or if you're exercising, if you're going out for a run, those are great times to listen to these podcasts. Now, one of the other things that you have to keep in mind is that you do not have to feel obligated to listen to every single minute of every single podcast. If you look at the title for a podcast or you look at the summary and description, feel free to skip it if it doesn't apply to you or if it sounds like something you're really not interested in. It's okay to listen to a few minutes of it and then just skip to the end of it and go to the next one if it's not kind of grabbing your attention. And that's one of the things that you really need to be able to do. And it can be hard. I mean, if there's something on your list of things to do, it's very difficult to just delete it and move on and say, you know what, this isn't applicable anymore. Skip on to the next one. Find something that is.
Yeah, I think this is perhaps the most important tip of the day, and it's why I'm able to subscribe to so many podcasts and absorb what I consider to be kind of the best elements of all of them. Because as I went through this list, I hadn't realized how many podcasts I'm subscribed to. I think that we're going to talk about 40 or 45 today, and I have at least another 20 that I'm subscribed to. But some of these only release once a month. Some of them are very erratic, even less than once a month. A lot of them, I will only listen to 1 out of 5 episodes because it just the others completely don't interest me. But that 1 out of 5 can and has changed the way I'll run a certain business, or gives me an entirely new marketing idea that will absolutely have an impact on, you know, on my bottom line or on my business or on the way we do the podcast or the academy or MicroConf. And so there's a way, in my opinion, it's having a broad comb that reaches out to many different things. And you can't, if you're going to do that, you cannot feel obligated to listen every minute, or it's just too much audio and you're going to get overwhelmed and just give up on it. Our first category is startup podcasts, of course, and these are interview startup podcasts. So the first is Mixergy, and we've classified that as a tactical and as a motivational podcast. The next is This Week in Startups, And that is a podcast by Jason Calcanis. It's actually an also video and has an audio feed. It's fairly long. It has three episodes a week, between 30 minutes and an hour. And I've gone back and forth with this podcast. I find some of the interviews really good. I definitely don't listen to all the episodes because some of them just don't apply. But I think perhaps one of my favorite interviews ever with a venture capitalist was about 2 weeks ago on This Week in Startups, and it's Chris Sacca. And the guy is, I'd never even heard of him. He's just incredibly smart. And it was, Jason Calcanis is a really good interviewer, like him or not. He's had some successes and he certainly has a lot of confidence in his abilities, but he is absolutely a good interviewer. And he really brings a lot out of people he's interviewing. And he also tends to be pretty honest and blunt. And I actually think that's pretty respectable. So we've classified this one as a motivational and an entertainment podcast. That was This Week in Startups. The next interview startup podcast is a lesser known one. It's called Startup Slingshot. And I'm going to put that in the technical and motivational. And Startup Slingshot is done by William Griggs, who used to be in Nashville and now he's in Austin, Texas. And I've been on there a couple times. What I like about Startup Slingshot is that since it's a smaller audience, he's able to do things that maybe some of the larger interview podcasts wouldn't venture into. And so as an example, in my opinion, the best interview on a podcast ever about lifetime value and customer acquisition costs, that kind of stuff for a SaaS app, is on Startup Slingshot. And it's the interview he did with Jason Cohen about 2 or 3 months ago. And I listened to that interview 3 times because there's just so much knowledge pouring out of Jason. Good questions, good summaries. I mean, it just nailed it. I also went on Startup Slingshot after I relaunched Hittail in January. And William asked me stuff that no one else had asked. And he asked about metrics, very specifically about metrics I was looking to optimize. I mean, kind of got into some detailed stuff. And that's why I've classified this as both tactical and motivational. Now, some of the episodes talk about how to raise money in Indianapolis or how to raise money in Nashville. And obviously those I don't listen to because I'm not interested in the topic. But, you know, fairly regularly, something comes out that really does push the boundary. And I think William has a nice interviewing style that's worth looking at.
So the next podcast is the Startup Success Podcast. And this podcast is run by Bob Walsh and Patrick Foley. Patrick Foley is a Microsoft employee. And Bob Walsh and Patrick have been running the Startup Success Podcast for around 150 episodes or so. And the podcast itself right now is in kind of an intermediate status right now. Patrick Foley is kind of moving away from the podcast to concentrate on other things. And they'll be coming back with a lot more episodes in the future. But primarily, it focuses on doing interviews with a lot of different startup founders and tech entrepreneurs who have been involved in various endeavors. And this is really a motivational and entertainment podcast. You're not going to find a lot of tactical tips, although some of the startup founders that they do interview will provide some tactics. And it is a way to get some exposure for some of the ideas, assuming that you come onto their podcast and give an interview. But those aren't necessarily the prime motivations for listening to it. It's really about entertainment and motivation for building upon your startup.
And rounding out our suite of interview startup podcasts is Founders Talk. And this is one I'll call motivational and entertainment. It's run by Adam Stachowiak, and I've been listening to him since he was on the Web 2.0 show. And it basically interviews startup founders, both large and small. It's mostly venture-backed stuff, but it definitely is interesting if you have, you know, some extra time in your week. Our second category of podcasts is non-interview startup podcasts. The first is a Smart Bear podcast, and that comes from Jason Cohen. He's the founder of WP Engine. You hear us talk about him quite a bit. He started the podcast by just reading his blog posts, and that was actually kind of cool because since I haven't read blogs religiously in a while, it was a nice way to keep up with that. But he soon turned it into, the way he summarizes it is it's like love lines for startups. And it's basically a call-in show where startup founders, mostly non-funded, I mean, it's people who are, you know, kind of bootstrapping, they can call in or Skype with him, and he'll basically tear down their idea in a good way, like in a positive way, give them feedback, and not just say, this doesn't work, this isn't good. He'll actually say, this doesn't work, but here's something to try. And he'll give 2 or 3 different things to try. So it's very specific. So I give this one definite motivational and entertainment value. There are also some tactical things, but they're not general tactical. It's more tactical for this particular person's startup, but if you can take those and turn them into something that you like, it's definitely worth a listen. Now, Smart Bear doesn't come out that often. It's got a fairly erratic schedule. I think there's only been maybe 6 or so episodes in the past 6 months. So it's hit or miss, but it's a nice one to have in the feed. And certainly when it appears, it's one of the first that I listen to.
The next one is Texting, and this one is hosted by Jason Roberts and Justin Vincent. Justin Vincent talked at the first MicroConf, and he talked about his startup Plugio, which he had grown from a paltry four figures in revenue and tripled it in a...
No, he took it from three figures in revenue to four figures in 6 months.
Yep. The two of them talk about a lot of different things that they've been working on, whether it's the consulting things that they've been doing or some of the startup ventures that they've had. If you've read a lot of Hacker News, then you've probably seen either one of them posting different blog posts.
I think the best description of Texting is the way they put it. Like Jason said... Startups for the rest of us is like going to a conference and hearing someone talk about something. And it's educational, it's outlined, you know, there's 10 bullet points and things you're learning. Texting is like if you went to go to the conference and the room was packed, and so you and your buddy went to a pub and started having a conversation about startups or a conversation about Hacker News. Like it's more of a casual thing. It's less structured and it's longer. I mean, their episodes are typically 90 minutes long. So, you know, it's not something you can listen to if you don't have a lot of time in your week, but it's definitely one. I mean, I've heard every episode for probably the past 100 episodes. I think the only ones that I skip, they have both interview episodes and discussion episodes. And so the discussions are when they just talk about each other's projects and different stuff from Hacker News and what they're working on. And I listen to every one of those. Some of the interviews, if they don't interest me, because some of them will be about, you know, physics or like trading and writing high frequency trading systems, those ones I will tend to bow in and out of depending on how much they interest me.
One of the primary things that they're talking about these days is their endeavor for AnyFoo. And it's interesting to hear a lot of the things that they're running into with AnyFoo about how they're dealing with the logistics of that application and how they're planning on bringing that to market. And, you know, quite frankly, hearing a lot of the honest discussions about what they should or shouldn't do and what they want to portray to the users of AnyFoo. So if you're interested in hearing the beginnings of a startup that may go someplace, if you're interested in hearing the inside story of how that is kind of playing out, definitely go to Texting, check out their podcast.
Our next podcast in the startup non-interview section is Seth Godin's Startup School. And this one just came out about a week or two ago. It's only maybe four episodes in. And what it is it's Seth doing an in-person presentation. I guess he got some startup founders, entrepreneurs together for a few days or a week, and he just did in-person presentation. He said it was unrehearsed and without slides. So it sounds like it's just him kind of talking from an outline or something. And I would put this as motivational and entertainment, like a lot of the other ones we're mentioning. But Seth Godin is so smart that it's like everything he says gets you thinking. Now, often I find myself, it gets me thinking and then I don't actually know what to do with that thought because I don't have any tactics. I don't actually know what he's saying. I will make notes and then it will like strike something, spark something later on in my mind. They're about 25-minute episodes. And so far, I'm very impressed. It's just awesome to listen to this guy talk because he is so smart and he knows marketing so well and entrepreneurship for that matter. The next one on our list is Customer Development for Smart People. And what this is it's someone reading Steve Blank's blog out loud. Now, this one I'm going to put under motivational only. Steve Blank is the customer development guy, and he's actually the mentor of Eric Ries. He was the professor of Eric Ries, who has done Lean Startups. Customer development, essentially, you know, the thought that you should get out of the building and you should talk to your customers before building an app, figure out people that people want it before building it, all that kind of stuff. And so this is one where maybe one in four or five episodes really grip me and I listen the whole way through, but it still is nice to be able to keep up with what Steve's doing because he is so smart and has had a lot of success. He brought a number of companies public, just has a great history behind him, very knowledgeable, and he's now an academic, and so he's pushing the boundaries, the research boundaries of startups.
And the next one on the non-interview startup podcast is Startups to the Rest of Us. And I think that we kind of self-classified ourselves into the tactical and motivational classification.
And rounding out our stable of non-interview startup podcasts is the Calzumius podcast. It's Patrick McKenzie's podcast. It's only had maybe four episodes over the course of 3 or 4 months, so it is erratically released. When it's on, it's good stuff. Patrick McKenzie, obviously very smart and good at everything that you know that we talk about on this show. Definitely motivational, definitely entertaining. Diving into our next category is number three, which is business paradigms. And so this is where we start getting into things that are more of the exposure. So if you recall, I talked about four classifications: tactical, motivational, entertainment, and exposure. And all three of these are exposure to new thoughts, new ideas, things that might take you out of your comfort zone, things that might take you out of, you know, the discipline that you really want to focus on, but that can change your way of thinking and kind of open you up to new ideas. So the first one is called Actionable Books. And I've listened to several of these. What I like is that each one is 5 to 10 minutes long, and it's an essay someone on this podcast team is writing about a new business book. And so it just exposes you to a whole bunch of new books, and you can hear the summary and to figure out, you know, if you might want to go buy the book and listen to it further. My one complaint is that they're all positive reviews. So I don't know if they only pick books that they like, but there's really never a critique. And I actually kind of wanted a few of them to be critiques and to talk about the negative side of things. And the next one is HBR IdeaCast. So it's the Harvard Business Review IdeaCast. Also, an exposure podcast. It looks at high-level business paradigms, economics, politics, the economy, you know, stuff that may not necessarily relate directly to your business, but absolutely, you know, opens your mind. And they look at, typically it's someone who's published something in the Harvard Business Review, and they just interview them for about 15 minutes about that. So I found maybe one out of two of those podcasts to be really interesting. The last one is called The Invisible Hand. It's about management, economics, and strategy for the thinking person. And this is a 30-minute podcast, also exposure. So our fourth category is the online marketing and online business space.
And the first podcast on this list is the Lifestyle Business Podcast by Dan and Ian. And I really like this podcast. I listen to it for a lot of different reasons. We've classified this as both motivational and as entertainment. I definitely get a lot of good nuggets of wisdom out of this. And it primarily revolves around making sure that you're taking a high-level view of things and not digging in too much into the details, definitely shuffling things off to other people that you shouldn't necessarily be focused on. I really enjoy this podcast. It's one of the few on my list that I listen to almost religiously. These guys definitely know what they're talking about. And one of the differences between this podcast and a lot of the other ones is that these guys deal with physical goods. And most people don't tend to pay attention to podcasts or to businesses that deal with physical goods. But it's really interesting hearing these guys talk about, you know, their business and how they push forward when they're dealing with the types of, you know, supply chain issues that they're having. So it's definitely an interesting podcast to listen to. I definitely recommend that anyone take a listen to this one.
And the Lifestyle Business Podcast companion podcast is Tropical Talk Radio, which has been coming out mostly weekly, but it's an unedited podcast, and it has Dan and Ian doing different interviews. It tends to be more tactical, and it also is, you know, is entertaining. It's not as polished and produced as Lifestyle Business. They don't tend to have an outline. It just tends to be more interviews and discussion, but I've heard every episode of it so far. Next on our list is Internet Marketing. And this is tough because there's a bunch of podcasts called Internet Marketing, but this was the first one. And it's actually Internet Marketing : Insider Tips and Advice for Online Marketing. And definitely put this one in hardcore tactical. There's some entertainment that goes along with it. But Kelvin Newman and Andy White run this podcast, and it is top-notch. The production value, just the content, it's always very tight, to the point. I don't think they edit it very much, and they're really able to put together a good show. Topics vary from SEO to social to all kinds of stuff, but it is probably hands down my favorite internet marketing podcast that I listen to in terms of getting tactical tips, new ideas, and new thoughts in that space. Our next one is The Foolish Adventure, and I've classified that squarely in motivational. And that is our good friend Tim Conley. It started off with him and a co-host, and then about 50 episodes in, they decided to split ways. Tim now does interviews with people. He's actually interviewed several Academy members. He interviewed Robert Graham and John Turner and Dave Rodenbaugh in the past month. So there's some pretty good episodes that have been coming out of there about some motivational and exciting stories of, you know, basically new entrepreneurs having a lot of their first early successes in the past couple of years. And it's been cool for me to hear in detail, like an in-depth interview with some of these guys, because Mike, you and I have followed their stories, but you can only see so much in the forums, right? And in a quick conversation at MicroConf. But to sit there and hear a 45-minute interview with any of those guys, it was kind of a treat. So definitely something to check out. And it's nice that Tim keeps the episodes, you know, between 30 and 45 minutes. So definitely easily consumable.
So the next one on our list is the Internet Business Mastery. And the Internet Business Mastery is run by Sterling and Jay. And It's kind of aimed at beginners. If you're kind of past the beginner stage, then this podcast probably isn't quite for you. But they definitely have some good insights about where to start with your business, especially if you have no tech background. A lot of their listeners do not have a software development background. So if you're listening to this podcast and you don't have a tech background, you're wondering where to start, this might be a podcast that you want to listen to and pick up some good information from them.
Yeah, and we've classified this under motivation because they have a lot of success stories that they talk about, and exposure, because if you're in our world and you're in software startups, it actually is good to hear other ideas. And so Internet Business Mastery focuses more on information product marketing, and they do run a good ship. They've had this podcast going for, I think, 7 years now, and I've been listening since 2006, and it's good to catch up, keep up with their stories, and always to hear new ideas about content creation and ideas for new content and that kind of stuff. So, you know, they have a good show going. The last couple in the online marketing space are Copy Blogger Radio, and that's in between seasons right now, but that's definitely a tactical and an exposure podcast, and a lot of you probably heard of the Copy Blogger blog. Well, Copy Blogger Radio is an extension of that, and it's very well produced, and they have excellent interviews and also just a lot of good tactics that they share about online marketing. Next is SEO 101, which is probably the most tactical SEO podcast I know. Now, this one's on Webmaster Radio, which is a little irritating. The commercials are really loud, and there's a bunch of 3 and 4 minute commercials. It's basically two SEO consultants just talking about recent Google changes. So it's very, very detailed. And if you're not into SEO, it's going to be horrendously boring, but it is the most detailed kind of in-depth SEO podcast I know about. And lastly, an honorable mention in the online marketing space is Talking Websites. I actually stopped listening to this podcast because I'm not looking to buy or sell websites right now. But these guys, one of them is Justin Gilchrist. He's the founder of FlipFilter. And I honestly can't remember who the other one is, but it's very tactical and there's a lot of exposure. If you're in the startup space, this is definitely going to be exposure to the concept of buying and selling websites and domains and that kind of stuff. Our fifth category is storytelling. And this is one of those things, these are all E's for entertainment, right? It's This American Life, the most popular podcast in iTunes, millions of listeners. It's The Moth Podcast, just 15-minute shorts of people telling stories on a stage. And it's This Developer's Life, which is Rob Connery and Scott Hanselman doing, it's like This American Life, but for software developers. All of these not only are great for doing the dishes, doing yard work, kind of just vegging, but they actually show you how to craft a good story, how to use language very well, and all of that can help you in writing, marketing, blogging. And these are definitely some podcasts, you know, I recommend if you have the time. These are the more longer forms. These are getting further and further away from that core competency of actually getting your business off the ground. Our sixth category is tech news and related, and all of these are in entertainment as well. There's the entire Twit network. The ones I listen to personally are Tech News Today, which I love. I listen to it every day. This Week in Tech, This Week in Google, and then Framerate, which is about cutting the cord and like buying a Roku and not having cable anymore. And it's pretty cool. It covers all the stuff you can watch online. And then there's a podcast called Windows Weekly if you're interested in that kind of thing. So the Twit network's definitely, you know, high quality network. Most shows you find on there are going to be interesting and you'll be able to get something out of them.
The next one on the list is Hansel Minutes, and Hansel Minutes is run by Scott Hanselman, and he primarily does the podcast on his own, but he always has a guest speaker on, and a couple of times in the past, I've seen him actually have a guest on who has interviewed him for specific things.
That was a cool episode, actually.
Yeah. And primarily, it's him interviewing other people about what they're doing, what they're working on. A lot of them tend to be Microsoft-focused, but he definitely makes an effort on occasion to go outside of the world of Microsoft. And he will ask them from the point of view of somebody who has absolutely no idea what's going on. And it's interesting because you can tell by the way he asks the questions that he definitely knows the answer to the question, but he asks it in such a way for the people who are listening to the podcast who don't know what's going on to give them an idea of what's going on.
I went on Hansel Minutes about 6 months ago. Right before the interview, he told me, I'm going to ask questions that I know the answer to. He told me exactly what you just said. That's pretty cool that you picked up on that. Yeah. I had never picked up on that during the show, but he said that exact thing.
Really?
I'm asking him so the listeners can find out.
Really? I always found that I always found that the way that he asked those questions seemed relatively obvious, because he would always stop people. They would start spotting off about different things, and you know, he would just stop them and say, "Wait a second, let's back up a little bit. Explain what this is." And it was stuff that, like, if you follow Scott Hanselman at all, like, he should know that stuff. And, like, you could tell that, like, he was just backing up a little bit for the benefit of the listeners, which is a great attribute of somebody who's, I'll say, in journalism, because, you know, they're backing off, not because they want to know, but because they want to make sure that the people who are listening understand what's going on.
Absolutely. And he's very eloquent and a great interviewer. He interviews mostly tech people and about, like, hardcore programming topics, like if they build a new JavaScript framework or something, which sounds like it could be really boring, but somehow he manages to make it quite interesting. And rounding out our tech news and related, these are going to be more interesting to you if you have kids. One is called Apps for Kids, and that falls squarely in entertainment. And that is basically a father and his 12-year-old daughter, and they run through a new iOS app probably twice a month. And I have purchased at least 10 of the apps I've heard about on this show. It's a great way to find out. It's like a lot of them are new learning apps or physics apps. Some of them are just, you know, downright fun, like Subway Panic. My son plays that all the time now. But it's a good way to just kind of have a new funnel of 99-cent entertainment binges that you can pick up on. And the last one in tech news and related is, it's a little higher end in terms of age, though. It's called Everyday Einstein's Quick and Dirty Tips for Making Sense of Science. And so each week they do 7 to 10 minutes about a specific science topic. And I thought this would be great for my six-year-old. And he gets part of it, but they often go into more detail. It's more like late junior high or, you know, potentially high school level discussions. Our seventh category for podcasts is New Ideas, Politics, and the Economy. So we're probably at the circle that's furthest away now from actually needing specifics to launch your startup. All of these fall into the exposure category, in terms of exposing you to new thoughts and ideas, and of course the entertainment category, if you like the topic that it's on. The first is by far one of my favorite non-tech podcasts, and it's called 99% Invisible. It's an independent podcast, and it's about architecture and how spaces and design impact our day-to-day lives. Very, very well produced. It's a lot like This American Life, and it's only 15 to 20 minutes every week or so. If that sounds at all interesting to you, I highly recommend it. I was hooked after hearing the first episode about 2 months ago. Its sister podcast is called Decode DC, and it looks into, it's trying to put like Washington politics into perspective. It's only 3 episodes in, but also well produced. The next couple are from NPR. One is called Planet Money. And that is also I think they do 2 episodes a week, and they look at, it kind of is the economy and the business landscape, but they do really interesting specific stories about it, and it's very personable. It's kind of like if this podcast started, so the rest of us did stuff about the economy, it's like two people chatting about something, and you get to know the people. It's not just news reporting. The next two are APM Marketplace, which is also on NPR, and that is a news reporting show. And then APM Marketplace Tech, which is a daily 4-minute podcast. It has some pretty good tech news. I've been listening to that for about a month, and it's just a great way to start my day to kind of hear, you know, what happened the previous day or what happened that morning. And rounding us out are a couple of podcasts that some of these run a little long. They're definitely into exposing you to new things. Freakonomics Radio, if you read the book Freakonomics, they have a podcast that comes out every week. TED Talks, they release 4 or 5 new audio TED Talks a week. And this is the same stuff you could see if you went to TED.com and subscribed to their RSS feed there, but they just put out the audio versions in podcast format. And I skip a lot of these. I probably listen to 1 in 5, 1 in 10, but definitely, you know, expands my thinking. And the last one is to stay in touch with pop culture. I literally learned about them on this NPR podcast called NPR Topics Pop Culture, and it gathers up all the pop culture topics from the last week.
I think I mentioned this in a previous podcast that I purged my list of podcasts that I listened to several months ago just to kind of focus on AutoShark. But it's interesting to see the sheer number of other podcasts that are out there that I haven't listened to. I did know about a lot of the other ones like Foolish Adventure, and I just, that's one of those things that has been on my list to listen to. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. But there's a lot of other ones like that I am familiar with, like This Developer's Life and Internet Business Mastery, and obviously I listen to Tech-Zing and Lifestyle Business Podcast. But you know, it's the sheer number of podcasts that are out there is in some ways I think overwhelming for a lot of people, because you really have to be able to filter through what other people are listening and what is relevant to you.
I agree. And my hope is that this episode serves as a filter for people who are listening rather than the opposite. We don't want to overwhelm you with 50 things you feel like you have to add into your iTunes feed, because that's not what we're trying to do. Our hope is that you pick the ones that sound at least a bit interesting. You kind of filter through them. And if you start, if you don't like an episode, like Mike said, you skip it. And if you skip a bunch of episodes in a row, then you unsubscribe from the podcast. I know that without podcasts, I would not have met a ton of great people that have become part of my network, you know, around the world, and that have helped me with getting Hittail launched. Certainly will help us promote things like MicroConf. I mean, just in general, it's just good to have this network of people and to hear about them, whether they're the actual host of a podcast, whether they're the person being interviewed. These are the people that are doing things in public, right? I mean, this is like being in touch with them. And if I hear someone on a podcast and it's interesting, I feel we have something in common, I will totally drop them an email and say, hey, I heard that great interview. Let's talk, you know, let's talk about doing something, or let's, you know, just whatever. How can I help you? That kind of thing. So there's a lot, it's not just about consuming. It is about like giving back in this space and being able to connect with others. And I think another point of value is if you are looking to market your startup, the way I put together that whole Hittail marketing plan, for the most part, it was a lot of stuff off the top of my head that I had, you know, sticking in there, but it was a lot of audiobooks and a lot of podcasts. And it was pulling marketing ideas from these. And I may not have implemented them exactly the way they describe them in the podcast, but they would say one sentence about one idea, I would jot it down, and that would later make it onto this marketing plan. And those things have absolutely made a difference in how I've built and launched and marketed Hittail.
That's a really great point that you make about being able to give back and just drop people an email that say, hey, let's talk, or, you know, whether you're offering to do something for them, because a lot of these podcasters really thrive on hearing back from the community. And even if it's not just a question or, hey, what can I do for you? Even if it's just a, hey, thanks for this episode, it really resonated with me. I mean, those things are great to hear as somebody who's developing a podcast. So if there are podcasts out there that you're listening to, I'd highly recommend that you just drop an email to the people who are developing those podcasts and just say, hey, thanks, I really appreciate what you're doing.
If you have a question for us, call our voicemail number at 888-801-9690 or email us at questions@startupsfortherestofus.com. Our theme music is an excerpt from We're Out of Control by Moot, used under Creative Commons. You can subscribe to this podcast in iTunes by searching for Startups or via RSS, startupsfortherestofus.com, where you'll also find a full transcript of each episode. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.